city.
So, Rebecca said, and Rebecca, she didn't do it, she's not going to find that. More questions?
So we're reading the elimination.
There's 4 points.
You can read in the divisions.
So 11 is a win. 12 is a win. Or plottable to discernible. That's what it says in the code specifically.
Okay.
Okay, great. Very good.
You're just going to read those in? Or?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, liberty and justice for all.
Yes. Chair Heasley.
Present.
Vice Chair Durr.
Here.
Commissioner Manchin.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Epley.
Here.
And Commissioner Daly.
Here.
Commissioners Barnhart, Paxton, and Wyatt are excused. We have quorum.
The Planning Commission will first hear a report from staff, then a public hearing will be open. The applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Next, members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak must be sworn in and also fill out a request to speak form. The forms are located at the table near the door. When your name is called, come forward and speak into the microphone. Say and spell your name and give your address for the tape record. After all is spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. The public hearing will then be closed and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. All actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the Municipal Development Code are final action unless appeal is filed and a fee paid within 15 days to the Community Development Department. If you challenge a resultant action of the Planning Commission in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues you or someone else raised at the public hearing described in this agenda, or in written correspondence delivered to the Community Development Department at or prior to the public hearing. Mr. Liang, would you administer the oath?
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. If you would, stand up and raise your right hand, please. All right. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? If so, please say, I do.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. You may be seated. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. The first thing is, tonight is our consent agenda. Consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon request of the member of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. What does staff recommend for the consent agenda?
All right. Good evening, members of the committee, planning commissioners, and Mr. Chairman. Staff recommends items 1, 2, 3, and 5 on the consent agenda. Item 1 is the minutes of June 17, 2015. Staff recommends approval of these minutes. Item 2 is sign program 1501. That's a request for approval of a sign program to modify an existing 32-foot freestanding pole sign and install a 50-foot square foot electronic message center sign at 24 feet in height. The location, it's at 2601 East Highland Avenue. It's in the commercial CG1 zone. Staff recommends, the applicant actually submitted a letter to withdraw, and so staff recommends that this application be withdrawn at the applicant's request. No further action is required. Item 3 is conditional use permit, 1108, extension of time 1501. This is a request for a one-year extension of the previous Planning Commission's approval of Conditional Use Permit 1108 to construct a multi-tenant commercial shopping center, a.k.a. Home Depot Shopping Center, off Highland and Arden. Thank you. So it's to construct a multi-tenant commercial shopping center with a 137,000 square foot home improvement store and approximately 69,000 square feet of retail and restaurant uses. This is located at the southwest corner of Highland and Arden Avenues. It is in the commercial CG1 zone. It is the CEQA, the environmental determination, it's the previous environmental EIR that was prepared back in 2012, clearinghouse number 20110610021, the recommendation is staff recommends that the Planning Commission approve extension of time 1501 to extend the approval of conditional use permit 1108 from June 18, 2015 to June 18, 2016, based on the previously adopted findings of fact and subject to the previously approved conditions of approval. And item number 5 is conditional use permit 1419. A request to modify previously approved conditional use permit 9206 to add a 650-square-foot addition to an existing 1,200-square-foot convenience store, modify existing building facades, and construct a 3,000-square-foot self-service car wash facility for an existing gas station with a convenience store and a 1,200 square foot drive-through car wash facility. This is at 3909 North Hallmark Parkway. It's in the commercial CG1 zone. It's exempt from CEQA under section 15332 infill development. And staff recommendation is that the Planning Commission approve conditional use permit 1419 based on the findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to the conditions of approval. That concludes our consent agenda. And item number 4, the applicant is here, and we're ready to present that to you.
Thank you, Mr. Liang. Any of the commissioners wish to pull any of the items on the consent agenda or have any questions for staff? Commissioner Daly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. just one to abstain from item number one, the minutes from our June meeting. I was not present, so I'll be abstaining from that. And just a question on number three. Is this the first extension request that that this project's had?
No, sir. This is actually the second extension. We're still working away with this Department of Finance to try to get this the dirt moving.
Okay. And just remind me, how many extensions are allowed?
It's in our development code currently is until when the site is ready to approve. However, it is a 12-month time frame period.
Okay.
So the applicant will have to come back annually until the dirt can be constructed.
Because this project's all tied up with redevelopment properties, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's all. Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Machen. And no other, I'll entertain a motion with the abstention of Commissioner Daly and Commissioner Machen.
Mr. Chairman, if the two commissioners abstain, we only have four commissioners left. We wouldn't have a quorum to act on those minutes, so they'll have to be carried over to the next meeting.
I would move the balance of the consent agenda then in that case.
We'll continue item one to next meeting, and I'll entertain a motion on items 2, 3, and 5.
I'll make that motion.
Commissioner Daly made the motion. A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimous. Item number 4.
And our Travis Martin, assistant planner, will give the presentation on item number 4. Thank you.
Evening. Item number 4 is conditional use permit 1511. It's a request to add live entertainment to an existing 5,628 square foot restaurant with an existing ABC Type 47 license. Project site is located at 2999 West Kendall Drive in the commercial general CG1 zone. A little background on the project. The center that the restaurant is located in was originally approved as part of conditional use permit 0530 back in 2007. In 2013, September, we approved the ABC license for the restaurant. February of 2015, earlier this year, the certificate of occupancy was approved for the restaurant, the University Bar and Grill. Back in May of this year, this application was originally submitted as a minor use permit for review. In June, well, subsequent to that, we did upgrade it then to a conditional use permit. In June, the Development and Environmental Review Committee reviewed the item, moved it along, and here we are. The site, as you see, is located on Kendall Drive. It's just south of Palm Avenue, just north of the 215 freeway. There's a picture of the site. Fortunately, it's a little out of date. The center wasn't built yet when this was taken. You have a site plan for the center. You can see the business is located in what we'll call the lower right corner of the center, which is actually the northeast corner or northwest corner of the site. Here's a blow up of the floor plan. As you can see in the far corner, on the upper right of the plan, that's where the stage and dance floor will be located. This is already existing in the restaurant. And then some photographs of the existing site. And our recommendation, there's a little typo on there. The conclusion is that the project satisfies all findings of fact for approval of conditional use permit 1511, and we recommend that it is approved subject to the conditions in the staff report. On that note, there are a couple minor changes that we're looking to do to the conditions as were distributed. Condition 11, we're looking to eliminate. And then 12 to modify to read, no noise from the proposed use shall be discernible instead of audible beyond the property lines of the project site except emergency service devices. Additionally, I'd like to add three other items onto the conditions. Those would be listed as numbers 20, well, it'll be 21, 22, and 23. Those will read, during the hours of operation, amplified sound shall be carefully regulated by the business owner operator to ensure compatibility with adjacent uses. Items 22 then, or condition 22 would then be, the owner operator shall regulate live entertainment in a manner that does not create a public or private nuisance, and any such nuisance must be abated immediately upon notice by the city. And the final condition we'd like to add will be, this CUP shall be subject to revocation per section 19.36.100 of the development code.
Thank you. It's a, is a developer, applicant?
Yes, we do have the representative.
In concurrence with here. With those,
yes,
additional or changes
we
to
we
the...
have discussed all of the proposed changes to the conditions with the applicant. He has spoken to the property owner and the operator, and he's agreed to the conditions as proposed to be amended.
Okay. Any questions for staff? Applicant may wish to make any kind of presentation. If you do, please state your name and address. Spell your name for the tape record, please.
Okay. First name Khalid, K-H-A-L-E-D. Last name Farah, F-A-R-A-H. 621 South Buena Vista, Redlands, California. There are nothing additional we would like to add to what Travis said. We agree with the way the conditions have been revised. That's it.
Okay, well, I'm in favor of an approval on this, based on the experience I've had living in that similar area, and so far the operation has been done very professional.
Correct. Thank you.
Commissioner Daly.
Yeah, I'd just echo the chairman's comments. I think more establishments like this in our city are better. I think providing live entertainment is a good thing, and obviously with the proximity to the university, I think this is an excellent way to go. And I've been there several times prior to even knowing that this was coming forward, and agree, it's a very well-run establishment. So.
Anybody else? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
I don't have everything to read. Okay, let's see.
Commissioner Dirk?
Make a motion that the Planning Commission approve conditional use permit 15-11 based on the findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to the conditions of approval, attachment C, with the additional three items.
I have a motion. I have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Approved. Unanimous. Thank you very much. Tell Renee to keep it up. Next on the agenda, public comments, items not on the agenda that are in the purview of the Planning Commission. We have a member of the public here. You have no comments, sir? Okay. Planning Commission reports and announcements. None. Comment.
Yeah, the
Commissioner Eagley.
Great American Race was a well put together and very, very good show. Plain and simple. I thought it was really well put together. We had a mix up in some of the communications with the volunteer, our volunteers from the NCA and NBC. But other than that, I thought that it was very well put together and went off really well. I don't know if any of you made it there, but it was really, I'd say, spectacular. Food, vendors, the cars were outstanding. The presentation show, I got a little bit of that. It was really nice.
Well, thank you. Commissioner Daly?
Well, I guess I just have questions, so I don't know if this would be a time to ask a couple of questions that are not on the agenda.
Right now.
Okay. with all of the, and if we missed, if this already was discussed in June, I apologize, and I can just go back and read it. But with everything that's going on with the water situation in the state of California, and all of the mandatory restrictions that are being put on all sorts of water uses, both from a potable and non-potable state, I'm just wondering, are there any, are we doing anything to amend or update our development code, development standards, so that water consumption as it relates to landscaping and other things, whether it's in the public or private domain, are being dealt with?
Yes, we are, as a matter of fact. And part of this, if I may, Chair, talk about the development code update under the director's report. We are in the process of doing an entire update to the development code. There was actually a presentation that myself and the consultant, Ann McIntosh, made to the council last Monday evening. But even ahead of that, we are working with the water department to come up with standard residential landscape plans, because we get at the front counter, I hear from staff, seems like every day or every other day, somebody, property owner, will come in that wants to remove their turf and replace it. At this time, we don't have standard, good quality standard plans that we can give people to give them ideas for low-cost alternatives. We are working with the water department. They recently hired a landscape architect to start preparing those plans, and we should have those for the public to use starting in September. So we are even ahead of the development code working on that, so we realize that this situation is pretty serious now. And we're also, there's a group that was just started meeting 2 months ago that includes myself, the Parks and Recreation Director, and staff from the Water Department to look at, as well as Public Works, to look at how the city can be more efficient in its water use and water operations. And the good news I just heard from Stacy Allstadt this morning is that our water use came down 28.5% last month. So the goal that the governor's office set out was 28%. They're quibbling. They think, according to their standards, the city met a 32% reduction, but according to the Department of Water Resources, it was 28.5%. So we met the goal, at least for the first month. So yes, we are looking at that in both our own operations as well as how we can help property owners reduce their water use.
That's excellent. Would it be just because I'm interested in it? Maybe nobody else is, but would it be possible when the landscape architect, when those plans and standards are ready to be distributed to the public, that maybe you could give a couple-minute presentation?
Absolutely, I can do that. Again, the plan is to have them in September, so as part of the director's report, if they're available. And what we're doing, just to quickly tell you, the development code currently has standards for alternative landscaping that are very, very hard to administer and very hard for people to follow. So what we're doing is coming up with, most lots in San Bernardino, residential lots, are pretty typical. They're, 45 to 65 feet wide. Most houses are set back 20 to 25 feet from the front property line. So we're working with a landscape architect to come up with what we're calling four standard plans that show whether it's decomposed granite in one plan, it may be crushed aggregate in another plan, it might be a combination of mulch in a third, so that property owners can kind of select from the four standard plans. And then on the backside, there'll be a blank, essentially, template where they can put it into the specific dimensions of their property. They'll add notes as to the type of landscaping they plan to install. We'll just stamp it as a no fee at the counter, and they can go out and install it. So we're trying to make this as simple and inexpensive for people to do. And again, we hope to have those in September.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Commissioner Major?
Yes, I have a question about the artwork at Sekum Lake. Was that a city-sanctioned project or just happened?
It's my understanding that the Parks and Recreation Director was aware that some murals were going to be painted, but that I don't think that the artwork was reviewed and approved by anybody on staff, nor was it reviewed and approved by the Fine Arts Commission. So while it was, we were aware that something was happening, my understanding is that no formal approvals were granted.
Hmm. Commissioner Durr, did you have something?
I don't know. Just maybe the water thing from a different angle. Have we thought of joining Riverside, the city of Riverside, and suing the state since we have plenty of water, or no? And Costa Mesa.
We give our water to Riverside.
They use the Bunker Hill Basin, too, I think, don't they?
Yeah.
They've got all that. They've got the land that the wells built all over the city.
Yeah. I just...
One of the things that my concern regarding the city's efforts to conserve water is, to me, the short-sightedness that's going on right now. The governor makes a demand, and the knee-jerk reaction is going to have consequences much more detrimental within the next year. Looking at the sequence of events on our weather-related, using historical data, we're due for a heavy rain this winter. We're going to lose, because we're already losing them, the median trees on University, which is our best entrance to the city that looks the nicest, or did look the nicest. We're losing those 40-year-old trees because we've shut off the water. They were a mistake when they were planted in that median 40 years ago. It's an inappropriate tree for that median. But the reaction that the city is doing now is going to bite us big time by this time next year. It's something that, I've talked to Ms. Longville. I've talked to Stacy at the Water Department. And this city doesn't have the guts to tell the governor what to do with himself and where to go, because he makes a demand that we knee-jerk reaction to meet his demands. And the validity of it is 48% of the water that comes through the Sacramento Delta is dumped out in the ocean instead of being used for human beings. To me, there's a conflict there. Yeah, we need to keep the little smelt alive, apparently. But we're dumping the water out in the ocean. We don't retain the water that we've got falling on our land. It was a great project to put an aqueduct in for the length of the state to take the abundance of water in the north end of the state and ship part of it south, which we pay for. And now we're in a situation because the previous Brown authorized that, meaning Pat Brown as governor. And the son has done two things that I'm very ashamed to say that he's a member of California's governing body. His first go around, he decided we didn't need any freeways, so we didn't maintain freeways for 8 years. We're paying for that now. Now we're doing the water thing, but we're going to build a train. So I don't know where the man's mind is, but I'm sitting there as opposed to what is an artificially created problem for Southern California by a group of individuals in the Sacramento area. I've got off my soapbox now.
You forgot about redevelopment. You get rid of that, too. That's been a lot of fun.
I'm sorry, I had two comments. And one has to do about the water, and one has to do about the park and the artwork. One of the concerns about the water conservation, because I live in the second ward, and the medium is Mus Cubiapi. So we have kind of adopted that, and we try to keep it green because it's substantial. It's our namesake. And, of course, now it's all brown, all the way from Highland, all the way down to Marshall. And, of course, we've asked about it, and we've been told the city has to conserve. So we understand that. We understand. And I guess they're only going to do watering to keep the trees alive. Well, my concern is, if it looks ugly, it's kind of like the broken window syndrome. If it looks ugly, we've noticed additional litter, you know, because it's also a passageway from people coming from Highland, you know, and going through. And so we're up in our arms. We're trying to keep it clean. It also doesn't look like the, of course, I don't think so. The city is not streets cleaning it or anything like that, because a lot of stuff is, it's one thing for us to pick up the litter. You know, it's another thing to sweep the street and so forth. So in all of this that you're talking about, educating the community and looking at solutions and so forth, I think you need to also include that we have to hold back the battle line. You know, we can't let the fact that the grass is turning brown. And you look down my street and all the other streets, and you used to see just green lawns, a wave of green lawns, and now we have a wave of brown lawns. And we've noticed a little bit more litter, a little bit more, because other people who don't live there also pass through those streets, as they have the right to do so. But they don't have the right to litter. But we need to, I'm concerned that it's part of that broken window. It doesn't look nice. It doesn't look neat. People tend to trash it a little bit more. And we're trying to get the residents and as well as the Neighborhood Association to work on that. Now, I don't know where the city can help us, because we can't do the sweeping of the streets and stuff like that. We can pick up literature, we can pick up the litter, but we can't do that other stuff. And that is something that we need to keep in mind, because otherwise people lose, you know, become frustrated, the brown lawns, it looks ugly. I went back east on a vacation and everything there is green. I came back here, everything is brown and ugly, you know, so that's just something. The other thing about the park, you know, I wonder too, when I saw in the paper and they were painting that, and my first concern was, who approved the artwork? Because some of it is not something that I would think in a park we might have. And as you mentioned, there was no approval. Was this group notified that they need to have approval? Because I would hate to see other parks have to go with that. I understand that they volunteered and everything was donated and it engaged some of the community to do so. But the park belongs to all of us. And I was wondering what the process is, and are they being informed?
I don't know what conversations have taken place with Generation Now, which is the group that did Secom Lake. I was involved in some of the early discussions with Mickey Valdivia and the Fine Arts Commission. And what I understand from Mickey is that the artwork wasn't approved, and whether or not they were told they couldn't do it, that I can't answer. Mm-hmm. So I know that a lot of people are not very happy with what happened out there. So I unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for you, Commissioner.
Oh, is that where it ends then? It's, nobody knows and we're going to let it go like that? Or because not to offend the group that did it, because they're trying to help out. But
correct.
We do have a process, and I would hate to see another park go through the same process, and they need to be told.
Right.
They need to be told, and they need to work with the process and so forth. And that's what I'm more concerned about. That park's already done. I don't know if anything more is going to be done. But I don't think that they'll stop there. I think they might want to consider doing some other parks. And I think they really need to be told, and we need to work out something so that they know that they follow the process.
I think if they weren't told before the fact, I think it's been
obviously
made clear to them since then that uh-huh. that's not acceptable. But again, you know, because I don't, not to pass the buck, but, you know, I don't really have jurisdiction over parks or public works. So uh-huh. I've talked to them, to Generation Now, about the fact that we are working on a process for your murals. The city currently doesn't have any standards for murals. Mm-hmm. Murals today are treated as signs, mm-hmm. and therefore they go through the sign permit process. I've been working with Stephen Graham in the city attorney's office to develop standards for murals. The city of San Jose actually has some very good mural standards. It is a fine line between what is public art and what is commercial speech, and that's really the difficulty that a lot of cities have when you've come to, you know, what is a mural versus what is a sign. The example that I always use is the the game room, I believe, at the 215 and the 2. What's the name of that business? Thank you, Games for Fun. So if Games for Fun wanted to come in and paint the entire building with as a giant pinball machine and billiards, is that a sign because that's what they sell in the interior, or is that public art because it's a mural? And that's really where we are. And so it is an issue, Commissioner, that we're trying to come up with standards, because there are murals that are great-looking murals, and they are truly public art, and then... Mm-hmm. I would say there's what happened at Secombe Lake. So we're working on trying to come up with a process. And then while I haven't talked to Generation Now, I think others have, and I think they know that that can't be done again.
Keep in mind, my comment is, keep in mind, art is subjective. It's what one person considers art, somebody else might consider it to be trash.
Graffiti.
And that goes both ways. So it was done by individuals that reside in that area. And to them, that is artwork. I stopped by it when it was in progress to find out what was going on. And there was a lot of young people, and they were being creative from their point of view. Not that I particularly like their artwork, because I don't particularly care for it, but I recognize the fact that what they were expressing themselves as art has a valid point from their perspective. We may not all enjoy.
Well, I don't have any issue with that, although I don't really like the design as well in some of the buildings. I think it looks pretty colorful on the front, the main, but you know, but in the others, I had a hard time figuring out what was the theme and all this other stuff. But this is a democracy, and there is a process. That's what my concern was, that they go through the process, that they let it know. They should be open to discussion. You know, it can be seen as a project to engage the community for whatever, but even they probably need some assistance as well as to what would be acceptable, because you want to avoid problems afterwards, after they put all that time and energy and avoid the problem.
Commissioner Machen?
Has there been any discussion about possibly having the artwork removed?
Not that I'm aware of.
Commissioner Daly?
Thank you. This is actually the other thing I wanted to talk about. So I love art. I think we need more art in our city. I think that all blank walls and vacant buildings should have murals on them, because a blank wall is a magnet for graffiti, and a mural is something that's aesthetically pleasing to the eye, granted the subjectivity. And I was actually going to talk about and ask if we were making any strides towards developing some sort of public art program, not necessarily public art program funding it, but having an ordinance in place, standards in place, so that should people desire, whether it's a private business owner on a building that they own, to put a mural up that has nothing to do with their business whatsoever, but to the ability to actually paint on their wall some sort of artistic rendering without fear of being cited or any of that kind of stuff. I think it'd be really useful. And I think that there is plenty of space in our city for more art. We have a wonderful mural on E and 2nd that was painted back, I believe, when Mayor Vias was in office. And I think that the art, art really can have a transformative effect on a community. So it sounds like there are moves or steps being taken to try to implement some sort of process. Obviously what happened at Secombe is public property, right? That's public space that there should be a fairly, maybe not strict, but a process to go through so that there is approval perhaps by an art commission or something that, approves the artwork, and some other type of approval process for private development. But one thing that I did, aside from all of that I really wanted to bring up, and it's something I've wanted to talk about for a while, is, as I've traveled around, especially in other parts of Southern California, whether it's San Diego or Los Angeles or up in the Bay Area, somehow These cities have been able to partner up with their local utility companies, Edison specifically, and other, you know, the other energy providers, because you have all these pedestals, right? You have these, you know, large 4-foot gray pedestals that are just scattered throughout the city. And if you go to other cities, who clearly have embraced the idea of art, you know, as representing the community, there's, you know, these murals are painted, you know, these pedestals are painted. So it's no longer a gray 4-foot ugly pedestal on a corner, and it's now some sort of, you know, art that represents the community. And I understand from talking to some people that those are done in conjunction with the community, whether it's schools or whatnot. And for the longest time, I've loved to try to, you know, initiate that conversation with Edison. But I just wanted to bring it up since we're talking about art. And I think we all agree that we'd probably rather see some trees on a pedestal than some graffiti that talks about a local gang. Yeah, I would. So anyway, I don't know what that's worth. I can get a hold of Beverly Powell if you'd like, but if you could get a hold of her and have her come down, I don't know. I think it would just be cool to, like, get some things going in the world of art in the city of San Bernardino.
Yeah, most of those, Commissioner, that I'm aware of at least, are not on Edison boxes, but they're on the traffic controllers that the city owns. So most of the programs, again, that I'm aware of are city-funded and city-operated programs because they're not on the Edison. Because I know the ones you're talking about. So those are just signal traffic controller boxes. That would be included as part of the overall mural program that we are working on. I will say it's not going to happen anytime soon. While San Jose has a good ordinance, just their mural ordinance is 121 pages long. So there has to be a better way to do it, a simpler way to do it. But it really is not a simple issue, because it is a fine line between what is constitutionally protected free speech and what is, you know, what's public art. So it is something that we're looking at, but I can't say that it's going to be a near-term program that we're going to come forth with.
Okay. Commissioner Durr?
This is unrelated, but who do we talk to about getting a dumpster on top of Little Mountain by Bear Park? Come to find out, we found this, I thought it was original, there's a firewood that goes up, and that'd be a nice thing to hike. Well, man, a whole lot of people hike that thing. There's a lot of trash up there. I know we have resources to get people to volunteer to go up there and throw trash in the dumpster, you know, to do Just Serve or whatever. But it's I think a lot of people just went up there at the top and throw something in. We just have to get it filled up before anybody else found it was up there, and they probably dump next to it. But would that be this?
It would actually be Public Works, Tony Frosterd.
Tony?
Yeah.
I know Tony.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, refuse is under Public Works, and you could talk to him, Commissioner. I'd be certainly happy to talk to him as well.
Okay.
That was at Little Mountain?
Yeah, it's right by
I know
Bear
the
Park.
Trail that you're talking about.
A ton of
about.
People. I mean, we're at 6 o'clock in the morning, and all those people show up, and families and dogs, and that's well used. I had no idea. If you go there any time during the day, you'll see people, except in the afternoons, evenings, you'll see people walking up there. Thank you.
Certainly.
Mr. Radley, you had a...
Oh, no, I'm fine. Yeah, it was covered. Thank you.
One thing I'm going to invite everybody, all the commissioners to do, as well as city staff, on the water issue. I got to drop back on it because I forgot a part of it. I'd like you to take a tour up Valencia between 30th and 40th Street and drive back down the other side on Broadmoor. Then tell me what your opinion is as to water conservation as opposed to the regular citizens, as to the more wealthy people that have a country club membership.
Well, regarding the medians under the Department of Water Resources emergency regulations, public agencies are prohibited from watering turf grasses in public medians. So the reason that Muscoobee Abbey isn't being watered and Tippecanoe and all of the other medians is we're prohibited. Whether you agree with those requirements or disagree with those requirements, I guess at this point doesn't matter. We are prohibited from doing that. Public Works is working with the Water Department. They do have some funding through the Water Department to fund turf removal, and you may have seen some of the medians that were done on Tippy Canoe that are decomposed granite. So I think this is, you know, as the chair said, you know, we may have more rain come next rain season, but we are in a semi-arid desert, so I think we need to figure out long-term what we can do. And there's got to be something better than dead lawn, and I think Commissioner Lopez is correct. When people see dead lawns, they just say, oh, well, nobody's maintaining this. I'll just throw that, you know, that McDonald's cup or whatever out my window. And it does look bad. But we are working on trying to figure out long-term what are some alternatives that we can do.
As far as the lawns, I can understand the turf, but we're losing mature trees, which
and they are
compounding the issue because we have wastewater we dump out and let go down the river, and that's non-potable water, but it's one step from being potable water. It could not be captured, trucked over, and dumped to save the mature tree vegetation, which...
Right. We don't want to lose mature trees, and I do know that Tony is working with his staff to reroute some of the sprinklers where they can. Again, it does come down to a financial resource issue, you know, getting the staff out there to reroute the sprinklers, to turn off the sprinklers that can't be used. But that is something that they're working on. I don't know what the schedule is, but we don't want to lose mature street trees either. I mean, that is, it's a very valuable resource to the city.
What we're doing with this change is we are creating a bigger heat island for this city, which is going to make the situation worse in the future rather than better. If you ever walk barefoot, walk on the pavement, then walk on grass. Tell me which one is more conductive to helping our area stay cooler, which retains moisture. So what we're doing is we're snowballing it. And I can see that semi-arid, now we're going to be a desert. No ifs, ands, or buts, unless we can figure out a way to do it in a better fashion. Anyhow, I'm done. Soapboxing now. Ms. Penman, I noticed you came in. Did you have anything for us? Public comments? Items not on the agenda?
Well, I hadn't planned on saying anything. I just was being nosy.
Oh, well, that's fine. Well, thank you.
And you made some very good points about what I hate to see, the dead grass in those mediums. Very sad. I love grass. I mean, you agree with me.
Well, before I entertain adjournment, Mr. Liang, front and center.
This is a sad, sad day.
Yeah, let me, before you read that, Chair, for those commissioners who aren't inside, Aaron, unfortunately, has accepted a position with the County of San Bernardino, and Aaron and I have been talking over the last couple of months, and I tried to do a couple of different things to try to keep him here, and unfortunately, none of them worked. So he did inform me last Monday this Monday, that he was leaving, and his last day with the city is going to be next Thursday. So The county once again has poached one of our employees, so we need to talk to Mr. Devereaux and tell him that that's not acceptable anymore. But with that, that's.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for your leadership and your guidance. Made these years just seems by a very in a flash. And I believe the department is in good hand with Mark Persico. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you again, Aaron. Any other comments by commissioners or the director?
No? I have nothing to add. Oh, except tomorrow, Third Thursday. Hopefully we will see some of you. If you haven't been down, we continue to bring in new trucks. We try to rotate out trucks and bring back some of the favorites and test out new ones. So please come down between 11 and 2 tomorrow.
Very good. I will entertain a motion to adjourn to our next regular scheduled meeting, which is August 10th at 6 p.m.
19th,
I can't see.
So moved.
I have a motion. Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hey, we're all survived. Thank you. Maybe. If I practice this enough, I might get better at it.
Aaron?
Yeah, thank you so much, sir.
Congratulations.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going over the street. I mean, you can throw a rock at me.
Where will you be?
We'll be in the current section, the current planning. They call it land use services over there. And so, we talk to each other every day. And so, I'm still going to be talking to folks over here.
Cool. Say hi to Terry for me.
I sure will. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Gonna miss you, buddy.
All right, thank you. Thanks
Big
a lot.
Shoes to fill, man. You back from a lot?
Yeah.